Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports webcast and podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. It's a webcast, like I said, but also a podcast. So if you want to listen to the podcast version, that'll drop later today at PrepRally.DJournal.com, and you can listen to it on iTunes as well or in any of your podcast apps. I'm your host, Brad Locke, along with Blake Morgan, and then over there on the far left, Gene Phelps, our high school sports guys. How are we doing, guys? It's game week.
Doing well. I have a peppermint in my mouth, so if I start choking, that's what it is.
Well, that's good, Gene. I'm glad you freshened up your breath for our viewers here today on a Prep Rally. And been busy, guys, huh? We got the football tab licked, though. We got that out.
Yeah,
we got that done, and now it's on into the season.
And away we go.
Week one. Got here kind of fast, didn't it, Gene?
Of
course, it is the middle of August.
It is. It's getting faster every year.
Maybe just Eugene.
You're getting the only problem for me with football starting as early is it's just so doggone hot and humid.
Yeah.
On Friday night.
Too hot.
I do. I have been told, I haven't seen it yet, but I understand Tupelo has one air conditioner in its press box now. So we'll see.
That's a plus. Better than none. It's
better than nothing.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's a church fan or something.
Yeah. You just go down the sidelines and bake in the sun.
Well, I used to be able to do that, but yeah. I only last about a half now with these hips.
I used to do that too. And I got to where later on, I would just, if I could fit in the press box, I didn't care how tight it was. I was going to sit in the press box. I don't know about you, Blake. If you're a press box, Blake does the press box.
Well, you
smart
can do
guy.
More work in the press
exactly.
box.
Exactly. It's a lot easier
now
to keep stats.
Our deadlines are getting shorter and shorter, and we're, easier to be able to type.
Yeah. Well, it kicks off, I guess, actually Thursday. We got a game or two, but then everybody gets going. Friday, we'll look at a bunch of the big games, the big marquee matchups this Friday in the area. We'll look at some other key games on the schedule as well. And before we get into it, though, I want to remind you all to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. You can follow that account for updates on this show or just updates on the high school sports around here in general. We'll be tweeting from that Friday night, getting scores out to you at DJournalPreps as they come in. So be sure to give us a follow, please. Okay. Let's start first. Before we get into the games, guys, we do these preseason rankings. Rankings are fun, entertainment purposes only. And it will make some people angry because, goodness knows, that's the only reason we do anything in the newspaper industry is to make people angry, obviously. Absolutely. That's what it seems like. So we've got a top five large schools, which is classifications 4A through 6A, correct?
That's right.
And then the small school poll is 1A through 3A. So you two guys just kind of put your heads together and figure that out, don't you?
We do. We may have made some mistakes already when I started looking at the how some of the jamborees came out, but they were jamborees. But as I started thinking a little more today, we probably had some teams that didn't quite make it into our small school poll who may have been able to get there. But hey, that's the fun part. I like to move people, and Blake will find out. And when he becomes part of this process, it's always nice to reward teams for having good seasons. This isn't scientific. It's all subjective.
Yeah.
We don't award a trophy at the end of the season or anything. We're just having fun.
Right.
And I like to see teams that maybe you didn't think were have that much success, and you stick them in your rankings at number four or number five, and it becomes a big deal at that school.
Oh, yeah, it does.
You know, and they probably give us a little bit too much credit for being power right. brokers in this deal. But anyway, I kind of like our rankings. I mean, the large schools, it was kind of easy. As long as Starkville is considered part of our coverage area, you can just about put them at the top every year.
Yeah, they got Ricky Woods as coach. They're coming off the state championship. Right. It's kind of and they got some good players coming
back. And then they lost in their Jamboree game to Brandon 14-0. But Brandon's going to beat a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's Jamboree. It's two quarters. It's just a small sample size early on. And I mean, they got like Willie Gay at linebacker and some of the good players coming back.
Yeah. I mean, Starkville's going to be good every year, especially as long as Ricky Woods is there.
Yeah.
Our number two team was West Point.
Always good.
Blake saw them last week. They're pretty good, aren't they? And Tupelo High, a team I cover, 6A school, they'll be formidable.
Got to bring in a new quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to have a new quarterback before it's all said and done. They've got some really good skill people. Where the difference lies for them is on the front line, yeah. offense and defense. And that's where if they have struggles yeah. against the better or the teams that are better than the South Panolas, the Starkville's, the Columbuses,
yeah.
that's where the difference is. I think Tupelo can compete with any team in DeSoto County. Those are the games that Tupelo's got to win to get into the playoffs because those teams,
yeah,
they're all probably on equal footing.
Do we know where Trent Hammond is in resolving his quarterback question?
I asked him the other day, and he said probably we'll see at least two, maybe all three of them play.
Okay.
You know, they'll probably start the sophomore, Stephon McGlone.
Okay.
Stephon, I've never seen him play. I've seen him pass. I've seen him in the scrimmage the other day. Got a real strong arm. You know, he's starting to understand the offense. He can run. And, you know, the guy's 6'2", 6'3", 225 pounds. He's a nice-looking prospect. But then you've got Ray Sandroni, and Ray's a senior, and he's the shorter of the two. He's Todd Sandroni's son.
Okay, yeah.
And Ray knows that offense, and he knows everything about it. So I don't think you can discount Ray not having some effect on what goes on at that position.
Sure.
So I look probably for those two guys in the mix here early as they try to find the right guy. And will they wind up using both of them during the season? Probably.
Yeah.
But it's a long season.
It is. Number four, we got Shannon. Daryl Carter's been talking his kids up all summer. Had a good 7-on-7 season.
Yeah, we've written a lot about those guys. They finally stepped to the plate, you know, this week, and we'll see how they do. I thought they deserved a preseason acknowledgement. And then we went with Houston as our fifth team in 5A. I thought about Oxford, but Oxford lost so many players.
They lost a ton.
And
New coach, too.
New coach, Chris Cutcliffe, I think he'll do a great job there. They lost in a jamboree to Charleston. Look, Charleston's probably going to win 3A this year.
Yeah.
I mean, so that was nothing there. But they lost so many people, especially Jack Abraham, the talented quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
Small schools.
Small schools got Kossuth.
We could have put Jaylee Adams.
Kossuth.
Parentheses, Kossuth.
Yeah, exactly. Number one.
Ask New Albany, who played him in a jamboree last week.
Yeah.
Kossuth, that's one of those fun picks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought North Pontotoc was a fun pick. You know, apparently what I'm saying, fun. These are teams that have got some really good players back, and they've had success.
These aren't necessarily teams that have been perennially successful over the years, but recently have really started coming to their own.
So you're starting to think they're at those schools, they're thinking, hey, this might be our year. We may never be this good for a couple of years. You know, we got the talent. Aberdeen, I put it number three. I'm maybe second guessing myself. They lost so many players, but then Aberdeen has so many players.
Aberdeen reloads every year, man.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
So I just put that's the old respect.
Right.
Dale. I'm going with Aberdeen until they prove me wrong.
Yeah, they were undefeated in the division last year.
A team I probably underrated, Calhoun City.
Calhoun City always good.
Year in, year out, can line up with anybody.
That's right. And then number five, Walnut. Yeah, we know they got Monterio Hunt, but they got to have some other guys there, don't they?
Yeah, and my man sitting next to me probably knows a little bit more about them, but that's you know, another fun pick. They got this great guy who can dominate a game, and against a 1A schedule, they could be sitting right there.
Yeah.
At the end of the season.
Well, you can find those preseason rankings in the Football Journal, that special section that came out on Sunday.
And two teams. I know you wanted to talk about sleeper.
Yeah, some sleeper teams.
Think about Benton County in 3A.
They've been really strong, and a young program that's really come on strong.
And one team I'm not disrespecting them at all and is Baldwin in 2A.
Yeah.
Baldwin could actually be the team down in Jackson this year.
Sure could.
And neither one of those teams that were in our rankings, in our small school rankings. And, of course, you know, I think Oxford could be worthy.
Yeah. You know? I mean, they just got to have some younger, maybe relatively unknown guys step in, which is, you know, how a good program keeps things going, certainly. Right. So, and also we posted these rankings on djournal.com, I think, yesterday. I put them up there, so you can go search for them there in the high school sports section of our website at djournal.com.
And we will publish the rankings each Monday.
Yes, they'll be in the paper each Monday.
Page 2 each Monday. Blake writes a story on Mondays. about somebody usually that's in the rankings, and he will just kind of add them in there. But you can see the rankings page two.
And Blake, I want to ask you just about these rankings. This is obviously your first foray into a football season around here, being the new guy, as we've mentioned many times. How much have you learned about these teams? I know you're going to learn more as the season goes on. It's got to be hard to try to. I know you've leaned on Gene a good bit as far as, you know, when how you rank these teams. I'm sure you're starting to get an idea of who's annually pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's kind of seems like it's always fringe teams in the Daily Journal coverage area, right? I mean, you know, real crash course trying to learn the teams and learn them quickly. Helping out on the tab was really helpful in learning the perennially good teams and whatnot. Trying to get to where in a week or two I'm not so relying on Gene's wealth of knowledge. Of course, I probably always will be.
This man got lost in Pontotoc last weekend.
it went to South Pontotoc last weekend and got lost without cell phone reception
that's out in the middle
carry
of
me home.
So we're sending me back Thursday.
Yeah, going back Thursday.
Hey, oh, yeah. Yeah, South Pontotoc, that's kind of out in the middle of the boonies there.
Yeah.
Down, is that down Highway 9, Gene?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been out to, is it Springville, Spring Hill? Springville. Springville's named a little community out there. But you'll learn your way around, Blake.
Yeah.
I got lost a few times, I'll be honest, back in the day when I was doing this. Well, let's go ahead, and we've got a bunch of games, obviously, this week. Starting Thursday, before we get into the main games that we want to talk about, though, we do have, Gene, what do we have Thursday? One or two games?
One game, South Pontotoc and Hamilton.
South Pontotoc.
That's where I'm going back.
That's your featured game, South Pontotoc and Hamilton. On Thursday night
South Pontotoc.
Okay. Well, let's look ahead to some of the big games this Friday. I'm going to do this each week. We're going to focus on three big games, kind of break down the matchups, spend a little time on each one, and then we'll mention some other games of note. So three games this week: Clarksdale at Tupelo, Morville at Baldwin, Houston at Pontotoc. Let's talk with Tupelo opening the season at home, Gene, against a Clarksdale squad that's kind of not been itself. In recent years, they were kind of mediocre last year, I know. I'm trying to remember, Jim Hughes was the coach there and had them good for so long. I can't remember how long it's been since he's left. It just seems like after he left, though, they kind of went down a little bit.
Yeah, they're still another one of those teams that in programs that has a lot of athletes coming through. Of course, we talked about Tupelo's quarterback situation. Clarksdale will have a new quarterback this year, a kid named Terrence Humphrey. Tupelo defensive coordinator Brian Jones said he's really – a dual threat player.
Yeah.
He said he can throw, he can run. They saw him play in the Jamboree. He wasn't their quarterback last year. In talking with Trent Hammond, Tupelo's head coach, he said they're just really big. He said when he watched the tape of them and got the scouting report, they have really got some size on the front line. So be a tough opening game like it was last year. Tupelo went over to the Delta, played on a wet field, fumbled the ball about four times, and Clarksdale got a lead. Tupelo came back, but those turnovers really killed Tupelo.
Yeah.
Tupelo's looking for a little revenge. I don't buy revenge, though. It's two different teams, you know, new season. It'll be interesting to see. I'm really interested to see how Tupelo responds. Tupelo's loaded with skilled players. They've got really about four good receivers. They've got two really good running backs. One of them, Jaquarius Williams, is as good. He's a sophomore, as good as anybody. He had a 70-yard run the other night against Itawamba, and he was gone.
Yeah. He called a shot on that one, didn't he?
He did.
At least according to him, he did.
The principal that morning coming to school, and the principal confirmed it. He said, hey, I'm going to bring one, take one 70 yards, because he knew they were going to start the 30
scrimmage
at control scrimmage. And they ran just a little counter, and boom, there he went. And it was gone. The kids were just screaming on the sidelines and going, ain't catching him, man, not catching him. Really talented player, a really nice kid. So Tupelo's got the skill people to match up with anybody. So I'm going to be on the front line, the offense and defense.
Yeah. And you bring in a new quarterback, and, you know, you got to deal with that Clarksdale front and not let your guy, you know, get hit a lot. Whoever's back there.
Yeah. Ideally, you would like the sophomore to play.
Yeah.
The McClellan kid, because he's a sophomore.
Yeah.
But you've also got to think about the senior, because you need to win games.
Yeah,
it's all about this year. You can think about the future, but you also got to think about this year. So it'll be interesting to see how the Tupelo quarterback situation is handled.
Yeah, certainly. So that's Clarksdale at Tupelo. That's where you'll be, Gene, correct?
I better be.
Yeah, okay. Good deal. second game, I want to look at Morville at Baldwin, a good old Lee County rivalry, I guess. I don't know, Gene, if the high school was technically, I guess, in Prentice County. Technically, just across the but Baldwin, as a lot of people know, it's split right down the middle, basically right through downtown between the Lee and Prentice counties. But one of the schools closer to us in our coverage area. So Baldwin, Morville, we talked about Baldwin a minute ago, Gene. They're always good. And they got Jimmy Ties, huge guy up front for them. And Morville has a new coach, John Keith, former Tupelo assistant. So Blake, you've written about Morville a good bit, and I know you were at the Baldwin game last week at the Jamboree. So what did you see from Baldwin, first of all?
They looked pretty good. And kind of to what Gene said earlier, they could be the team that comes out in two-way down in Jackson, right? That they looked really good.
Yeah.
And they have Sweeney back at quarterback. Last year, I mean, he had 14 touchdowns. The coach talked about how he went through a lot of stuff in his personal life last year. Yeah. And that really showed how resilient he was. And then, you know, in this year, they're hoping for him to take even more of a step in a more of a stable year. And I mean, they have talent all across the board.
Yeah, and they're going to be Baldwin's always athletic. That they're probably going to be more athletic than Morville. But so I'm kind of curious how Morville's going to be able to match that, or what they're going to have to do.
Yeah, you know, talking with Keith a lot, and then I have a story coming out this Friday previewing that specific game, and that's where I'll be on Friday as well.
Right.
You know, talking with Keith, and he's basically talked about it. It really goes along with his offensive style is. He wants to control the clock running the football and wants to have a really solid defense. And, you know, he has talked about, he's been pretty honest with it that, you know, they're trying to find the right combination up front on the offensive line. And he doesn't know if they quite have the right thing yet, the right mix of guys, but that's what they're growing towards. And he thinks like this game will determining that and helping them grow that.
Sure. So that's a Morville visiting Baldwin. I believe that's what the 3A school against 2A.
Yeah.
Baldwin there on Friday night. And then Houston visiting Pontotoc, an intriguing matchup there, Blake. And you wrote about Houston's defense earlier in the week. Looks like a pretty tough unit. Got Jonta Walker at nose guard, and then behind him, Tanner Bullock at linebacker. Those two guys kind of man the middle of that defense, and they make a ton of plays. Now, I know everybody keeps tackle stats differently.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see somebody had like 170 tackles, I kind of raise an eyebrow and wonder, but – I think that was about the number that Bullock had, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Bullock had 170, and Walker had 195.
That's a lot of
19 sacks.
That's a lot of tackles.
Yeah.
But regardless of how you keep those stats, I'm sure some teams keep them a little bit liberally, but those guys undoubtedly are playmakers.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was actually Gene who wrote that story earlier in the week.
Gene that wrote the story.
But I do have a story coming out tomorrow on Houston Pontotoc, previewing that game. And I'm excited to see how this goes. I saw Houston play in their Jamboree this past week as well. They looked really good. Uriah Shepherd is their dual threat quarterback. He was just a massive kid and just real fast. Mm-hmm. He had 14 touchdowns rushing last year, only 4 passing. And that was one of the things I talked with the coach. And because I was surprised when I looked at those stats watching him in the Jamboree because – he looked like a pretty good thrower, and so he's really improved over the summer, his throwing mechanics and his footwork, which, you know, I mean, he's already a big athlete, and so, you know, if you can just be confident at throwing the football, that can really unlock a lot of things for that Houston offense to go along with their already stellar defense.
Yeah, and even if you can only do it 5 or 6 times a game, I've seen high school offenses that they run 90% of the time, they'll throw about 5 times a game, and almost all of those will hit big because their quarterback knows how to get it done in those kind of situations. So maybe that's what we'll see with Houston. We don't know. But and Pontotoc, of course, could be a solid team this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacob Carter back, which is Jeff Carter's son.
Yep.
Back for another year. I talked with him the other day, and you know, he talked about how he had never played quarterback before till his sophomore year, and then the kid that was supposed to be playing moved away. And so Jacob was like, well, I can't let my team down. So I'm going to step up. And, you know, he said, I'm not really a natural quarterback, but this helped him grow into that, or, you know, he's tried to grow into that role, and now he's a senior and he thinks that he's pretty much grown into it.
Yeah.
And Alex Morfis is really the main guy on that offense for Pontotoc. He was a running back last year, but he's a real fast kid that they've moved to the slot to try to get him the ball in space, and maybe where he just has to beat one cornerback as opposed to running him straight up the, you know, into a line.
Yeah. Well, these are a couple of 4A teams in different divisions. Pontotoc's in Division 1, Houston Division 4. Pontotoc last year was 6-5 overall, and Houston was, 9-5. They got into the playoffs, I believe. So,
lost in the third round.
That's right, third round. So we'll see what they got for Pontotoc on Friday night. Those are the big three games we wanted to talk about. Now, we do just at least want to mention, I mean, there's so many games, guys, and there's some other good ones besides what we talked about, but just a handful maybe.
Got that schedule.
Yeah.
This week.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
It's the other games that we're covering.
Yeah, just some key
games.
Yeah,
Ripley at IAHS.
That'd be a good one.
Itawamba. Saltillo at North Pontotoc, and Walnut at Boonville are going to be the other ones that we're
covering. Yeah, yeah, and that Walnut at Boonville should be interesting. Monterio Hunt.
Yeah, return of Monterio Hunt. I might write a story on his return from Monday's paper. We'll talk about that.
Broke his leg against Boonville last year, and this will be his first action.
Since then,
in the regular season. So, all right, guys, a lot of good games. You're going to have plenty of coverage of those games, obviously, in Saturday's Journal and online at djournal.com. And, again, we got the Twitter at djournalpreps. We'll be tweeting scores throughout the night Friday. Find stories from there as well. And these guys will be out of games. We've got a bunch of stringers, as we call them, correspondents, who'll be out at games. And, of course, we've got our weekly newspaper reporters out of games. We've got a full stable of writers covering pretty much everything. And what games we don't cover, we get people to call in. And in case you need a reminder and you're one of the people that's responsible for calling in stats, please do that, 678-1601. If you don't call it in and we're not there, it's probably not going to get in the paper. So we at least want to get a box score, put something in the roundup for Saturday. And so look for all that coverage. And it's just nothing like week one of high school football, guys. It's pretty,
nothing like it.
It's pretty exciting. And also, again, it's 2 days away, so you still have time. If you're watching the webcast, I'm holding this up. If you're listening, if you're Gene, like you did that one time. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see this. But this is our football tab that came out on Sunday. We got the Jaylee Adams of Kossuth, the cover boy there, had a huge season last year and holds the state record for single game rushing yards at 543. Did that against Corinth. So
had three touchdowns in his jamboree.
So yeah, he's going to be a player to watch. Lots of players to watch. In fact, in the tab we have a list of players to watch, guys like him and Zay Cullins and others. So yeah, we got you covered, my friends, front to back, side to side, all over the place on this high school football stuff. Thanks for tuning in. That's it for this week. You can, again, listen to this either in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. One more plug for the Twitter, at djournalpreps. That is becoming our main high school sports Twitter feed, so be sure to follow that. And be sure to check out a couple of the other podcasts that we do here every Thursday. Ole Miss and MSU sports fans, you'll want to listen to Double Coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. Listen to that for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. And The Memo with myself and W. Derek Russell talking about all the news and entertainment going on in Northeast Mississippi 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Got a new episode coming today. And that's also accessible on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com. You can follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Phelps. Blake is on Twitter at Blake Morgan DJ. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. And that is it for Prep Rally this week. Thank you all so much. Thanks, guys. Have fun out there.
Thank you.
This week on the football fields. Everybody, hope you go to a game and enjoy yourselves and stay safe. We'll see you next week.